Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive into the life of Rosa Parks.
Oh, yeah.
And I think a lot of people, when they hear that name, they immediately think about, the bus refusing to give up her seat,
Yeah, the iconic moment
the iconic
on
moment.
the bus, yeah.
But, what led up to that? What kind of life did she live that brought her to make that very pivotal decision? And so we're going to try to kind of uncover some of that today and have her autobiography, Rosa Parks, My Story, right here.
Yeah, that's a fantastic primary source.
Yeah, and so we're going to use this to kind of dig into her life a little bit. So she was born in Tuskegee, Alabama in 1913 and raised in Pine Level, Alabama by her mother and grandparents.
Wow, so really in the heart of the Jim Crow South at that time.
Oh, absolutely. And
Yeah.
so you can imagine what kind of, atmosphere that must have been at the time.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about the Deep South in the early 1900s, it must have been a very different world than what we experience today.
Yeah, and when she was just 10 years old, there was an incident where a white boy threatened to hit her, and she
Oh, no.
actually picked up a brick
Oh,
and
man.
stood her ground.
Wow. At
Now,
10 years
10
old.
years old,
Yeah.
but then her grandmother actually scolded her.
Really?
Yeah, saying you have to learn that white folks are white then.
Wow, that's. It's just such an interesting.
It's insightful,
Yeah.
but it's also really sad that that was the reality
Yeah.
at the time.
The fear that was instilled,
Yeah.
in Black
It
people.
wasn't just about social norms. It was about survival. Like
Right.
you had to act a certain way to stay safe.
Right.
And she also talks about, walking to school, her segregated school, while white children were throwing trash at her from their school
Oh,
bus.
wow.
So, I mean, just imagine having to face those kinds of daily reminders of your, so-called place in society from such a young age. And it's so interesting because later she actually worked at Maxwell Air Force Base. And because of President Roosevelt's order, she actually was able to ride integrated trolleys there.
Oh,
But
wow.
then, having to go back to the city and ride the segregated buses,
What a jarring
a
experience
contrast.
to have that kind of freedom and then to go back to
Right.
that segregation.
Now, one thing that's interesting is that her grandfather seemed to be kind of a source of strength for her in the midst of all of this, because he actually openly challenged white people,
Oh, really?
which was just unheard of
That's incredible, especially at that time
at that time. Yeah.
in the Deep South.
Yeah. He even stood up to the Ku Klux Klan to protect his family.
Oh my
And so
goodness.
I think it really instilled a sense of self-respect in her and also resistance.
Absolutely. Like he showed her that it was possible to stand up for what's right, even when it was dangerous
Yeah.
to do so.
And so, family obviously played a huge role in shaping her outlook on things, but there was another key figure in her life, her husband, Raymond Parks,
Okay.
who was a barber and an activist involved with the NAACP.
Oh, wow. So he was also very active in the fight for civil rights.
And he was a big influence on kind of awakening her political consciousness.
So they would have these discussions
Oh,
about
yeah.
racial injustice and everything.
He would discuss the racial injustices openly. And he also introduced her to some pivotal cases, like the Scottsboro Boys trial, where 9 young black men were falsely accused of assault.
Oh, yeah. That was a major case
Yeah.
in the fight for civil rights.
And so she started to understand, the systemic racism that was going on, and she felt the need for change.
Yeah, it's like those conversations with Raymond and those exposures to cases like the Scottsboro Boys really ignited a fire in her.
Right. And so that led her to join the NAACP herself in 1943, and she became the secretary of the Montgomery chapter.
Wow, so she really dove headfirst into activism.
Yes.
I mean, that's incredible.
And this wasn't just about attending meetings. She actually was actively investigating and documenting cases of racial injustice,
Oh, wow.
including sexual assault and murder.
That must have been incredibly dangerous work, especially in the Deep South at that time.
Oh, it was very dangerous work. And it's just amazing because this was all happening decades before the major victories of the civil rights movement.
Right. They were really pioneers laying the groundwork for
Yeah.
the progress that was to
For the
come
progress to come,
and
yeah.
facing so much danger and opposition in the process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were doing all this work kind of in secret, right?
Yeah.
They had these secret meetings because of the threat of retaliation and things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was
Wow.
very dangerous. And
I was just thinking back to her experience riding those integrated trolleys at Maxwell Air Force Base
Right.
and then having to go back to those segregated city buses, it just
The
highlights,
hypocrisy.
yeah, like how arbitrary and unjust
Yeah.
those segregation laws really were.
And so then all of this is going on, and then comes this pivotal moment, December 1st, 1955,
Yeah.
the day she refused to give up her seat on the bus.
Which, of course, became a catalyst for the Montgomery bus boycott and a real turning point in the
Yeah.
civil rights movement.
And, a lot of people say, oh, well, she was just tired. And she even has that famous quote, the only tired I was tired of giving in.
Right.
But, she wasn't just tired physically.
No, it was a very deliberate act of resistance.
Yeah.
And, it was a decision she made very carefully in collaboration
Yeah.
with other activists.
Yeah. And I mean, think about the courage it took
Oh,
to
as is
stand up
you.
to those laws at the time.
I mean, this was a time when, lynchings were still a horrific reality and
I
Black
know.
lives were constantly under threat. I
Right?
mean, just being arrested and taken to jail
Yeah.
could have been a terrifying ordeal. And
She even
yet,
called her mother from jail. So
oh, wow.
you can imagine just, the fear and uncertainty.
I mean, it really highlights the danger they were facing every day just by living their lives.
And then E.D. Nixon,
Yeah.
who was a prominent civil rights leader at the time,
Right.
he kind of saw this as an opportunity.
Oh, okay.
And he realized that Rosa Parks, with her impeccable reputation, would be the perfect person,
The perfect plaintiff
yes,
to
for a
challenge
legal challenge. Yeah.
segregation. Yeah.
And so that's how the Montgomery bus boycott was born.
Wow, which lasted for over a year,
Over
right?
a year, yeah.
I mean, think about that. Black residents refusing to ride the city buses, demanding an end to segregation.
It's just incredible. And how did they organize and sustain such a powerful movement for so long? I mean,
Well, the black churches played a huge role, providing not just spiritual support, but also logistical resources, meeting spaces,
Right.
and then the Montgomery Improvement Association, the MIA, was formed to coordinate the boycott. And of course, a young Martin Luther King Jr. emerged as a key leader during this time.
Right.
So it was really this incredible coming together of people and resources.
Yeah, and it's just amazing to think about how her actions sparked this movement that really transformed America.
Absolutely. But, it's important to acknowledge it came at a cost, right?
Scores, yeah.
I mean, a lot of black people lost their jobs, faced constant harassment, and they had these incredibly difficult commutes, walking miles to work, relying on carpools,
Right.
It really disrupted their
And
lives.
Rosa Parks, I mean, she wasn't spared either.
No, not at
She
all.
lost her job. She lost her job. She received constant threats. And
Moved to
eventually,
Detroit
yeah, 1957, she had to move to Detroit
to escape the
to
South.
escape the dangers of the South.
But even in Detroit, she continued, fighting for justice.
Absolutely. Her commitment never wavered.
Yeah, and she worked with Congressman John Conyers,
Oh, wow.
and they advocated for civil rights and social justice on a national scale. So they weren't just focused on overturning segregation laws.
Right.
They were working on things like fair housing, equal employment opportunities,
Right.
and voting rights, things that are still relevant today.
Yeah, it's like she saw, kind of the bigger picture.
Absolutely. And their partnership with Conyers is a great example of how local activism can really have a national impact.
Yeah.
Using their positions to amplify the voices of marginalized communities and pushing for change.
Right. And speaking of that, we have our podcast here, Think and Act Locally. And it might just be a small local podcast, but we're trying to empower residents here to create positive change in our community.
Yeah, and sometimes those local efforts
Right?
can have those ripple effects that reach far beyond
Yeah.
your immediate surroundings.
Absolutely. And Rosa Parks received many accolades throughout her life,
Oh, I'm sure.
the Congressional Gold Medal,
But she wasn't one to just rest on her laurels, were she? She
No.
was a woman of action.
And
Yes.
she and Raymond established the Rose and Raymond Parks Institute for Self-Development,
Oh, wow.
which focused on empowering youth through education, leadership training,
That's fantastic.
and community engagement.
Yeah, equipping future generations to continue that fight
Right.
for justice.
Yeah, beautiful legacy.
It is. It really is. It reminds us that change is a marathon, not a sprint.
Right.
And speaking of legacies, we tend to think of Rosa Parks and the civil rights movement, but there's a bigger message there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a story about courage and resilience and how one person can spark a movement.
Yeah.
But it's also a story about challenging the status quo and not accepting limitations and fighting for what's right no matter what.
Right, and refusing to be defined by the constraints placed on her
Right.
by society, she stood up for her own dignity and the dignity of her community. And that's a message that I think transcends race and speaks to all of us.
Yeah, it's really a call to action for all of us.
Right.
What can we learn from Rosa Parks's life and activism that we can apply today?
It's about, you know, recognizing injustice wherever you see it, even in small forms. I mean, think about it, refusing to give up her seat.
Right.
It seems like a small thing, but it had monumental consequences.
Yeah.
And we all have a part to play in creating a more just and equitable world.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's easy to get overwhelmed by the big picture, right?
Yeah.
But her story shows us that our individual actions can make a difference.
Absolutely.
And it's not always about grand gestures. It's about how we treat each other and how we engage in our communities.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, also the power of collective action.
Right.
Like the Montgomery bus boycott, it wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If thousands of people hadn't come together.
Right. I mean, we can achieve amazing things
yeah.
when we work together toward a common goal.
And here in Deer Park, LaPorte, and Pasadena, that message really resonates, right?
Yeah.
Think about what we can do when we come together and address these issues that matter to us, whether it's, you know, advocating for better schools or supporting local businesses or protecting our environment. You know, we can really create change when we work together.
Yeah, it's really inspiring to see that spirit of community
yeah.
engagement in action and, you know, looking to Rosa Parks for inspiration. We got to remember that progress takes time and perseverance, you know,
right?
And a willingness to keep pushing forward.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Exact.
You know,
yeah.
And the fight for civil rights, it was a long and challenging journey.
It was.
But those activists, they never gave up hope.
Right. They understood that change doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
And they just kept fighting for a better future.
And that's something we can all learn from, right?
Absolutely.
When we face challenges, whether in our own lives or in our communities, we can't let it discourage us.
Exactly. I mean, we may not always see immediate results.
Right.
But we can't let that stop us from doing what's right.
Right. Every step we take, every voice we raise, it all contributes to building a more just and equitable world.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into the life of Rosa Parks, let's take her message of courage and resilience and the power of collective action with us.
Yes.
And, you know, challenge injustice wherever we see it.
Yeah.
Support each other
mm-hmm.
and never give up hope.
That's right.
And if you're inspired to get involved and make a difference here in Deer Park, LaPorte, or Pasadena, check out Think and Act Locally to find out how you can contribute to building a stronger, more vibrant community.
Yeah, it's been great talking about her today.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we hope you'll join us next time for another insightful exploration of a topic that matters. And remember, even small acts of courage and compassion can have a ripple effect that extends far beyond our immediate surroundings. So we encourage you to think about how you can contribute to building a better future. What injustices do you see in your own community? What actions can you take, both big and small, to create positive change? How could you work with others to make a lasting impact? If you find value in our show, please support us at thinkanddactlocally.com/donate. Link in show notes.